gotta do this. Stop! What are you? We gotta stop it. The numbers are bad. Stop! What are you doing? What'd you do now?
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America in a bunker that smells like homemade bread, this is PID Radio. I'm Terry Gilbert.
I'm the bread baker, Sharon Gilbert, and I want to welcome you to Monday, July the 6th, 2009. I want to send a shout out to my sister Faye and thank her for giving us the bread machine.
Yeah, it's tough when you can't have carbs.
I know. They're not allowed to have carbs.
So
but
we're
you know
eating
what?
Their
we
share.
Carb loads. So, it was onion soup mix bread. Mm.
You know, and that was really, it's,
it
it's
was really
amazing.
Good.
I'm convinced there aren't many foods out there that can't be improved with the addition of onion soup mix.
Well, that's about the right thing, too. Yes. And if you ever get the chance, buy it by the case, because, listen, when everything hits the fan, you've
we're
got the
up.
Onion soup
that's
mix.
Right.
Oh, well, I guess you need some water. But anyway, we digress. There are so many things that happened over the weekend. So much news to talk about. I guarantee you, the stuff that's on our list, not everything's going to make it into this show. So we may have to bleed some over
We'll
to
try
tomorrow.
To be concise. First, just a political observation that this 4th of July weekend, there were some 2,000 by some counts, this is reported by WorldNet Daily, some 2,000 tea parties on the 4th of July. I talked to a fellow, in fact, who drove to the tea party in Indianapolis, a customer. He said that even in the driving rain, because it rained in Indiana like all day on the 4th, they still had close to 800-900 people out there protesting the government's wasteful spending.
That's a huge turnout.
Right. But apparently the mainstream news media didn't notice anything except that Michael Jackson was still dead. So, I mean, that was the news coverage all weekend.
No, and it's going to be that way all day tomorrow because tomorrow morning, of course, is the memorial service at the Staples Center. And, of course, that whole circus, and it really is a circus, because what I saw is that 1.5 million people signed up to get those 8,500 or something like that, pairs of tickets. So 8,500 people were given one ticket and one for a guest. And the way it works, if you haven't been following this story, folks, the way it works is that you get your notification and then you have like 12 hours. You had like 12 hours to go down there and turn in your notification and you would get a wristband immediately put on your wrist. And a second one was given to you for your friend along with the two tickets. And if you show up anywhere close to that area, the police will not let you through unless you both have wristbands on. The only people getting in are the ones who have the wristbands. And, of course, the tickets are shown at the door. But if the wristband is in any way damaged, you don't get in. In other words, don't bother, you know, knocking somebody over the head and cutting off the wristband and taping it. It's not going to work.
Yeah. That is ludicrous. It reminds me of a game they used to have at the Arkansas Travelers baseball games in Little Rock, Arkansas. Double-A team, you know, St. Louis Cardinals farm team. You go to the game, and between every inning, they call out more numbers on the bingo card in the back of the. And then, you know, by the sixth or seventh inning, things got really excited because then, you know, they'd call out the winners, and then you had to run up to the press box in order to claim your prize. It just reminds me of this, except on a much larger scale. You've got 12 hours to get all the way across Los Angeles and get to our location where you can get your wristband. I wonder, are there any, you know, risk of, you know, traffic accidents or people getting hurt in the rush to try to get there on time?
Only if the numbers are 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, and 42.
The numbers are bad. No, stop.
We're just now watching through the first season of Lost. So if that's a long time ago for you, you Lost people, you understand what we're talking about. Please don't spoil us. We're trying to watch it through. The numbers are bad. That was a great episode. Love Harley.
Yeah, Hurley.
Hurley.
Why do they call me Hurley? I'm not telling.
Love it. Well, you're right. Michael Jackson and the deification memes of Michael Jackson that we talked about last Friday. We talked and last week we talked about the Michael Jackson connection to this whole Egyptian mythology meme that's been going around. Well, there's even another one today that he's being buried without his brain, that something was done back in Egypt. Now, the reason he's being buried without his brain is because the doctors, the pathologists who are doing the autopsy, want to preserve that for examination once it's prepared. But it's just another thing. And also, I apologize to you, Derek, because I have not found this graphic, and I'll try to get it so we can put it in the show notes. If not today, you'll see it tomorrow. But if you look, there's online. In fact, if you go to Google and you put in Michael Jackson, Egyptian princess, you will probably find an image of the bust of an Egyptian princess that I have not yet I found an identification for. All of these images seem to go back to one, pretty much one source. Someone was in a museum, took a photo and said, "This looks like Michael Jackson, and it's a girl, but it's got the same weird nose." Are you finding it?
Yeah, there's a picture at Flickr, and I'm sure we'll be able to find
it. Yeah, that's the source that I've found, and I don't know that there are really – most of the other sources seem to go back to that same one.
Yeah, so but the nose is actually broken off, which
– Exactly.
It's actually kind of appropriate.
It's very sad. Again, this is a guy who honestly – he human just like anybody else who was – you know, the Lord Jesus Christ died for him too, and – and we don't know. We hear from the Winans that they have no idea what
The Crouches.
Crouches, sorry, not the Winans.
Right.
The Crouches.
And
we have no idea whether or not he accepted Christ before passing away or not.
I don't know that I would like to find out what lots and lots of money would do to me.
Oh, me neither.
Because if you've got enough money so that you never have to hear the word no again, what would you do? What would you become? Michael Jackson is, sadly, an example of what can happen when you have no boundaries. There are no limits to how far you can indulge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, getting back to the whole deification thing, Al Sharpton over the weekend preached, and I use that in air quotes, gave a political speech at a church, as he is wont to do, and took the media to task for daring to criticize Michael and making the claim that it's only because most in the media are white folk and Michael was black like me, so therefore they're criticizing him and making him out to be something he wasn't.
Well,
look, I'm sorry, but there are white performers who have indulged themselves to death, and they weren't glorified or their sins weren't glossed over. I mean, you know,
Anna Nicole Smith. Elvis, right after he died, we heard
Jim
all
Morrison
about
of the Doors, Janis Joplin, all of the things that they did that contributed to their early demise. Michael Jackson is no different.
River Phoenix.
Heath Ledger.
Yes.
So, you know, I think Al Sharpton is once again jumping out in front of a parade for the glory and honor of Al Sharpton.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I also think that another meme within all of this is, frankly, black versus white.
Well,
and this is ridiculous because the whole point of the civil white rights movement and having an African American, I'll be generous and I'll say that Barack Obama is an African American, and that's primarily because his father was an African and his mother was an American.
Right.
That we have a man of color in the White House, that doesn't seem to count for anything. It's as if there are spiritual entities who really do want to continue the sort of warfare that goes on between people of different colors. And it isn't just black and white. I mean, there are all sorts of ethnicities
black and Korean,
that are being
Latino
thrown at
and,
each other.
And,
yeah.
And black, Latino and Anglo, you know, and it goes on all over the world, you know, Hutu and Tutsi, you know, when you get into just all.
Well, exactly.
And sadly, there are some people whose livelihood depends on keeping that status quo going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the natural plane. Of course, in the supernatural plane, you've got entities.
And that's what we talk about.
Right.
I mean, there are lots of other people talking about the natural, but we really need to get into the supernatural.
And that's the thing. And we've used this example before. It's like that episode of the old original Star Trek where this entity that is invisible plays on the natural hatreds of the Klingons and the humans. And
when Michael Ansara was playing Kang.
Yes, yes, exactly. And essentially turns the Enterprise into a mechanical hell where you can never die. If you're killed, you're brought back to life, so you can just continue killing and slaughtering and torturing and causing inflicting pain and suffering pain for all eternity until they finally get together and figure out that, well, love is the only answer to the problem.
Exactly.
Now, of course, they didn't. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I would love to stay on that, but there's more to talk about.
We could beat that to death.
I know we could, but you know what? While we're on that subject, I do have in my notes here that I want to take note of the fact that there are lots of riots going on in the world, and it isn't just, you know, the notion of civil war within the United States, this sort of simmering that's going on here right now. But there are riots that are breaking out in other countries. Iran has been on the news constantly lately. Honduras is on there, and 140-plus people have now died in China in Uyghur riots.
And Uyghurs are the Islamic or the Muslim people of Turkish descent, or basically related to the Turks that live in Western China.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of a movement to create an independent state or part of a new state called Greater Turkestan, which involves the Uyghurs and then some other peoples in that area. And there are.
And I would love to take a look at that region and see what sort of U.S. businesses want to set up there.
Well, at the very least, the United States likes having the Uyghurs act as a thorn in the side of the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the Chinese, no doubt, enjoy seeing Kim Jong-il and perhaps their ventures into Central and South America, their joint ventures with, Hugo Chavez and the government of Panama serving as a thorn in our side. It's all part of the great chessboard. The little guys are used as pawns by the big guys. Interestingly, and researcher Dave Emery has done some shows on this, on what the Uyghurs are, how they're being used as pawns in this great game. There are forces at work within the United Nations milieu, to borrow his favorite word, that are trying to encourage not just the Uyghurs, but other peoples around the world, including Native Americans inside the borders of the United States, to try to declare independence, to win their sovereignty, their independence from the nation in which they now reside. You know, Kurds, Uyghurs, Dakota.
Well, exactly, and that's why I bring up the fact that we've got a simmering disquiet here.
Right.
And you just don't know what's going to happen. And with, you know, zero, if you think of 12/21/12 as a 0 point, 0 point minus 12/60 is just in a few days.
Yeah. Gee, wars and rumors of wars.
Amen.
Yeah, almost like clockwork.
What do you got?
Speaking of, Joe Biden, once again, is free. Has been, I guess, loosed so that he can speak to the press.
You read my mind. It's exactly where I wanted to go next. Good on you.
He said that Israel is now free to set its own course on Iran, which seems to be a signal to the government of Iran that we're kind of stepping back, taking the gloves off, or letting loose the leash.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize if that's a turn of phrase that offends you, especially if you are Jewish. But you know, let's be honest, the government of Israel doesn't usually engage in anything this big, say an attack on Iran, without clearing it with the United States first.
Well, I think there's a military reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Israel is really a tiny region.
Yeah.
And the government of Israel does not, as a rule, rely upon the Lord God Almighty for his strength and power.
Right.
They look to other nations to help provide them with the military might.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. provides them with a lot of gun power.
Yeah. And interestingly, they still feel compelled or feel that their interests are best served, protected by conducting surveillance and spying on the United States, which is a kind of an inconvenient truth for a lot of evangelical Christians who stand by Israel come hell or high water.
The United States spies on its friends, too. Come on.
That's true. That's true.
That's just how
they're probably listening to us right now. No, that would never happen.
No, we're not their friends.
That's
But you know what? Biden is generally sent out to say those things off the cuff as if he's just sort of, oh, I don't know how to keep my mouth shut.
He's the
Biden.
the wacky uncle.
He's the wacky Uncle Joe who goes out and says what the administration wants to be floated about.
Yeah, yeah. Barack Obama may have been portrayed by some of his opponents leading up to the election as inexperienced, but he is a very cool and calculating customer. That's my sense. Now, I'm not as close an observer as some, but the sense I get is that he doesn't do much that isn't really for a purpose, even insulting the Prime Minister of the UK.
Well, let's get out of politics for a little bit. There's stuff going on in the world. Again, we want to talk about the supernatural, and there are a couple of stories going on right now, and both of them are down in the southeast. Mm-hmm. One's out of Florida, one's out of South Carolina. You've got family in South Carolina. You want to take that one?
Well, yeah, and in fact,
actually, you can take them both because you really relate to both these stories, I think.
Well, uncomfortably close to my family in South Carolina, there is a suspected serial killer on the loose in and around the Greenville-Spartanburg area. He is, a young lady was the latest victim. She was, as I'm looking for my notes here.
Teenage girl shot while helping her father in their father's small furniture and appliance store. She died on Saturday, and she was the fifth victim.
And this is in the town of Gaffney, South Carolina, which is an area known for the peaches that they grow. I mean, Georgia is known as the peach state, but South Carolina is really where peaches are grown. And Gaffney is right in the heart of that area. In fact, their water tower is truly world famous.
It's got a cute name, which we won't say.
Right, but it looks like it's a giant peach floating in the sky. And
if you want to know what it's called, send us a note.
We'll send you a picture, and that way we won't have to say anything. This young lady was 15 years old and died at a hospital in Spartanburg over the weekend. She is the fifth victim, as Sharon said. She was wounded on Thursday. Her father was killed as they worked at their store, a small appliance and furniture store, near the downtown area of Gaffney, South Carolina. So it's not an area where you think of a lot of crime taking place, especially not violent crime. It's not far from Charlotte, North Carolina, essentially just on the South Carolina side, south of Charlotte.
Well, and these are uncomfortably similar to the shootings that took place many years ago in New York.
The Son of Sam shootings?
The Son of Sam's shootings, yeah.
The killings began about a week ago, so this is five killings in the span of a week. The wife of a peach farmer named Klein Cash was the first victim, found him dead in their home. Then last Wednesday, an 83-year-old woman and her 50-year-old daughter were found tied up and shot to death in a separate shooting. This almost is like the...
I see a peach farmer who was killed, but did... the wife found him dead.
Right,
it was
right.
The farmer himself who was killed.
The Night Stalker killings out in Richard Ramirez out in California.
Yeah, these are victims that don't seem to be linked on the surface, which I'm not really sure how the police have determined. They have released a sketch of the suspect, so mm-hmm. I assume that there were some witnesses to the crimes.
Right. So it's made for a very tense and disturbing holiday weekend in that part of South Carolina. And in fact, after the show this evening, I plan to call my mom and see how she's doing. They're not right in that immediate neighborhood, but they're within half an hour of
where that's
located.
Well, I think that's a good idea regardless. Give her a call. But there's also down in Florida.
But down in Florida, we talked about
a story that we reported on, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
A teenager in South Florida in the Miami area has been arrested and charged with the deaths of 19 cats. You remember we talked a few weeks ago about
the cat mutilations.
Right, the cat mutilations. And this young man, age 19, is... I'm sorry, is he 19? Is 19 cats.
I think he's younger than that even.
He's 18.
Story.
He's 18.
Yeah.
He's been expelled from a couple of high schools in that area. The story reports that the police tracked him using a device on his car, an electronic device, apparently some sort of GPS tracker. But they don't go into the article, and in the article, they don't explain how the police planted the device on his car. Presumably, they had some justification for doing so.
Exactly. They must have thought that he was involved in some way.
Right. There's some gruesome details that are related in the story, including this, that the police say during one interview, he became excited when he described a tearing sound that occurs when skin is ripped from a cat's body during dissections, like in a high school bio lab. But the high school teacher told investigators, no, the cats that are dissected in a classroom are prepared for the procedure, so that doesn't happen.
Exactly.
So if he's hearing a tearing noise, he's obviously working on a cat that has not been prepared for dissection. The young man, anyway,
he also supposedly showed the police his chest, which had scratches on it.
Cat scratches on it,
cat,
yeah.
Scratches, which he said he got because he was feeding a stray cat at his
right.
home. Box cutters and other instruments, even his iPod, were taken from mm-hmm. his home. This just either sounds like, well, let's just say I pray they've got the right kid, right guy, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
And anyone who's read anything at all about profiling, which is the science developed within the FBI to try to build a psychological profile of a killer, find that one of the common threads between a lot of serial killers is that as youths, they started out butchering and killing animals.
Exactly. But if you – I don't know if you read the entire article, but if I remember correctly, his lawyer is arguing that that's junk science.
Well, yeah,
it's pretty thin.
That's right. His attorney does say that it is junk science.
Yeah.
And just because somebody tortures animals doesn't mean he's going to grow up to become a serial killer. Well, okay, the kid hasn't, at least isn't accused of killing any humans yet. But the fact is, if he's guilty of killing and torturing 19 animals, charged
with
animals.
There are laws on the books.
There are laws on the books that, we're not trying to prosecute him for the thought crime of someday growing up to be a serial killer. Let's charge him for what he's accused of, what he's guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is disturbingly similar to the short story I wrote called "Half-Tamed Demons" a few years back. Which
there are dark things going on.
There truly are
dark things.
And
I want to take a left turn.
Well, please, because
this
is an
area
you don't like to wallow in very long.
Well, exactly. Let's take a total left turn. We talked about the swine flu. We've talked about mm-hmm. the DNA vaccinations that are going to be coming up. By the way, if you want to know more about that, there is a video that I want to thank a listener who sent me a little note, and I was able to find this video. It's now over at peeringintodarkness.com, PID News. The story I want to relate to you actually comes out of Boston.
Hmm.
Swine flu worries spark Cambridge jail riot. Apparently, several prisoners became unruly, breaking sprinkler heads when it in turn flooded the entire building. Apparently, there are some inmates who were diagnosed with swine flu, along with some of the guards, and this led to a riot in a jail that was built to hold 160 prisoners.
Huh.
As of right now, the prison population is 403.
Hmm.
Built to hold 160. They've got 403, and they're rioting.
Well, that's not a that's not a good way to, pack them in. Because
when they're
in there that closely, it's going to spread pretty
fast. Oh, exactly. And the reason I bring this up is not only because, that's ridiculous, that overcrowding, but also prison populations mm-hmm. and military populations have in the past been used for health testing. Let's mm-hmm. put it that way. Let's be gentle.
Experimental drugs, experimental psychological treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't have any evidence that that's what's happening here, but it's important to take note of some things like
exactly.
this when they pop out in a prison population. So, that is especially in a prison as overcrowded as this one. Well, something we talked about, making another left turn here.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, this was the weekend that Rick Warren addressed the Islamic Society of North America annual conference of about 8,000 people. And he was the only evangelical Christian invited to speak at their keynote event on Saturday night. The group there were about 8,000 people at this gathering. And interestingly enough, the president of the Islamic Society of North America is named Ingrid
Mattson.
Yes, Ingrid Mattson. She was formerly a Catholic and converted. She's a Canadian. So he spoke and basically said, Pastor Warren said that talk is cheap, work is hard. Let's get together and work together. And he was given a very warm reception by the group.
All are welcome.
Yeah. And, you know, not to be critical for the sake of being critical, but I suspect that part of the reason he was given a warm welcome is because he focused on doing good works, which when you look at the fundamental difference between one of the fundamental differences between Christianity and Islam, Christianity is not works based.
No, but dominionism is.
Dominionism is. Yes, and that's the key point. Islam, of course, is entirely works-based. And so when you go in and you talk about a gospel of doing good works and getting together and working on projects, in fact, he talked up his peace plan and how well it's going over in Rwanda. You know, that was apparently a warmly received presentation that he gave to the Islamic Society. So
let me just remind him of what happens to the one world church that's predicted in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
She is cast out. She's destroyed
mm-hmm.
by the real power, the beast.
Yeah.
She's pictured as riding the beast as if she somehow thinks she's controlling it.
Now, there's nothing wrong with good works. I mean, the book of James deals with this at some great length. Apparently, this is a problem that a question that has been debated by Christian scholars for, nigh on 2,000 years. But faith without works is dead, but works apart from faith, while good, don't get you into heaven. And that's the key point.
Mm-hmm. It's worthless.
Yeah. And so there's no benefit, in my mind, in going out and preaching an ecumenical message to people who don't know the truth.
Let's put it this way. This is an analogy you've used before, but I'll bring it up again. You've got a Cubs baseball cap.
Yes.
Putting that on doesn't make you a Cub player.
That's right.
With a contract
yep.
to play ball and get money.
Yeah.
However, if you were a Cub player with a contract to play ball and get money,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't have a hat on, you'd still be a Cub player.
That's right. Yeah. Putting on the hat and calling
putting
yourself
on the hat doesn't
a Christian
make, exactly.
doesn't mean you are one.
You either are or you are not.
Yeah.
And the fact that if you are, then you will go out and you may not strike, you may not get a hit every time, but you're at least on the roster.
Mm-hmm. Why did Rick Warren is going to catch some grief about this. You'll probably hear about this in days and weeks to come. He's been criticized for a lot of the things that he's done. And frankly, some of it I think is nitpicky, but I think this is one of those things that he should have rethought if he was truly about making disciples of all nations. I don't think that that's his mission.
No,
I think his mission is to try to create this ecumenical one world church, whether he knows it or not. That's mm-hmm. the direction that he's
going.
Well,
that's just it. He may have some guidance that he's just not aware of.
Not quite aware of.
A couple of things I want to talk about, and then we're going to have to get out of here. And in fact, I think I'm only going to have time for one more of them. We'll save the enigma of Case Destiny Part 2 for tomorrow. They talk about Operation Nephilim. I'll just tease it with that. But the last thing I want to mention today is I got a press release that I'm on so many lists for press releases. Got a press release today from the CDC that they're going to hold the inaugural conference to address the obesity crisis in the United States. The CDC.
This is a health crisis now. It's not a public, it's not a personal choice crisis.
This is the Centers for Disease. Yep.
Disease control.
Exactly. It's the Weight of the Nation Conference.
Uh-huh.
The primary audience includes elected and appointed public policymakers. This
uh-huh.
is in light of the fact that we're getting ready to go into socialized medicine, essentially. They're going to highlight strategies that overcome barriers
mm-hmm.
to the primary prevention of obesity for youth and adults in four settings: communities, medical care, schools, and workplaces.
Again, the key point that you mentioned there is that this ties together with the government's intervention in healthcare. The government is wanting to set up a national system of government-run, government-mandated health care.
Oh, absolutely, because it says right here, it's going to highlight the use of law-based efforts
right.
to prevent and control obesity. And they define obesity according to your body mass index.
Oh, which you can,
let's face it, folks, you can be extremely fit and have a BMI that's too high.
We've talked once or twice about this weight loss program through my employer.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're sent a daily email of encouragement, little tips and things, you know, good stuff like, you know,
good enough.
Yeah, that's right. Eat protein at breakfast so you're not hungry halfway through the morning, that kind of thing. But they tell me that my healthy weight, and I'm about 5'11", my healthy weight, according to them, is somewhere between 130 and 175 pounds. Now, you knew me when I weighed 175 pounds.
I knew you then, and you were very thin.
I was the same size as the mannequins in the tuxedo shop I used to manage.
I
was a 40 regular.
Very, very thin.
And I am, well, probably 50 pounds above that right now.
You look great.
And I feel fine.
Well, that's the thing. You feel well. The implication here is that
pounds,
if your BMI is over a certain area or you don't fall into the strict parameters,
mm-hmm.
then somehow you're a burden on society. That's
yes.
what they're coming down to.
And in order for the public good, you go through the self-checkout line at the grocery store, and I'm sorry, Mr. Gilbert, your body mass index precludes you from buying the butter.
They're going to knock on the door and take away the bread machine.
Yeah. Oh, the horror. The horror.
And the irony, of course, there is that the bread I make is really healthy.
Yep.
It doesn't have any preservatives in it. It's whole wheat bread with flaxseed and all kinds of good stuff.
That's the problem.
I know.
Yeah. So watch for that. Just an interesting component to the coming nationalized healthcare that we'll have here in America. I mean, we've nationalized most everything else, sort of. So, you know, we talk about, well,
we're over 30 minutes, so we can't go there.
Well, anyway, one quick note, the new episode of the audiobook version, the podcast, the continuing story of the God Conspiracy, which is the free podcast audio version of the novel has now been posted at podiobooks.com. And if I may toot my horn for just a moment, as of tonight's recording, as we record this on July 6th of 2009, The God Conspiracy is now the number one audiobook at podiobooks.com.
Honey, I can't say I'm really surprised, but how wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I'm very proud of you.
So anyway, just I'd toss that out there. Put a link to that in the show notes at
shabbyradio.com. And I think the kudos is to you, but also to all the fine people who've been kind enough to go in and download it.
Well, and your editing really
it's the way you do the story.
Well, show notes at PIDradio.com. You'll also find a link there for the Piercing the Darkness form if you care to log on and share thoughts and ideas and discuss with other folk. And, of course, you can send us email anytime you like, radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And like it or not, we're still on all those social networking sites, and we may join more, so ha-ha. You can come also to the PID Radio Cafe group, and we've got a page over there, a fan page, that you can link to and become a fan, and many of you have, and you're looking for those wonderful treats that we promised.
Yes.
Eventually, you're going to get them because we've been busy doing things. In fact, if you take a look at the following website.
Oh, yes.
You'll find what we were doing on Friday.
On my day off, yes.
LaodiceaChronicles.com.
Yes, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well at PIDradio.com. Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody. Eat more bread.
On demand. This is PID Radio.